In this week's parsha of Pinchas, which Be'ezrat Hashem will be privileged to lane in shul this Shabbat, the first time we've had any laning for several months, that Moshe Rabbeinu expresses his concern that after his death, that the people shouldn't be left katzon asha'in lahem ro'er, like a flock without a shepherd. And therefore he asks the Kadosh Baruch Hu to appoint somebody who will lead the people into Eretz Yisrael and will teach them and make sure that they're following the straight and narrow. So Moshe is told to take Yehoshua, v'samachta et yadecha alav, and he was told to place his hands on Yehoshua's head and to ordain him as his successor. And it's from this episode that the term smicha is borrowed. When we talk about ordaining rabbis, we talk about giving a person smicha. Have they received smicha? So, interestingly, the Rambam in the fourth perek of Hilchot Sanhedrin points out that the term smicha is actually a virtual term. There's no real laying on of hands, but it simply means giving the Talmud permission to rule. And as the Aruch HaShulchan points out, that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu had to place his hands that's on the head of Yehoshua was to transfer Ruach HaKodesh to Yehoshua rather than to actually give him more authority to rule. So what's the purpose of smicha? That's why does one need smicha? So there's classical smicha, which was in the times of the Beit HaMikdash and in the times of Chazal in the Gemara. And that was necessary really only for dinei knasot and dinei nefashot, for imposing fines upon a person, not just matters of repayment or paying for damages, but paying extra money as a fine, and also for capital cases, and for malkut and such instances. That's what smicha was required for. It was never required so that a person would be able to say that the bracha on an apple is borei pri ha'etz. You didn't need smicha for that in the times of in classical times. You don't need smicha for that nowadays either. There are a number of details to do with classical smicha, primarily that it has to be given in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Somech and the Nismach both need to be in Eretz Yisrael. They don't actually need to be together. They don't need to be in the same place. It can be done by letter or by an announcement somewhere. But perhaps the first example of Zoom. But both parties need to be in Eretz Yisrael. The Aruch HaShulchan says this reflects the Kedusha of the Smicha. That it's affected by the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. It also needs to be Ish Mipi Ish, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. There needs to be a constant, continuous, unbroken chain going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And of course, that died out in Roman times. Therefore, classical smicha no longer exists. So what's the significance of contemporary smicha? So the Rama makes reference to it in Yoradeh Simin Reish Mem Bet. And essentially, there are two reasons why a person needs smicha nowadays. Number one is so that people should be aware that he's a person who knows his onions. That's not just in terms of whether the onion is davar charif, or if it's been cut with a milky knife, but that he's a Talmid Chacham and that he's suitable to teach and that he's able to give halachic rulings and halachic guidance. The other consideration is that it's associated with a halacha that a person's not allowed to teach or to rule bifnei rabo in the presence of his teacher, that even if he's not physically in front of him, but in his yeshiva or in his ambit. And this testifies to the fact that this person has got rashut from his teacher to be mora hora to others. So are there any implications, though, besides that, in terms of having smicha? Does it allow you to do something or not do something, function as a rabbi, not function as a rabbi? So the Aruch HaShulchan indeed does say that having smicha means that a person can be appointed to a position of rabbinic authority. The Rama also says that a person who doesn't have the title of Rabbeinu, if he organizes gittin or chalitzot, so then Imber Marsav Club. It's totally irrelevant what he's done. It's meaningless, and it has to be redone. If a person who doesn't have proper smicha that organises a get, so then even if the get is given and it's written and everything conforms to the halakha, then it's not valid, and another get needs to be given, unless it's makom igun, meaning that if you can't get the husband to give another get under any circumstances, so then we would rely on the first get. Or if the supervising rabbi is a mumche, or the supervising not rabbi, I suppose, is a mumche l'rabim, you know, he's an outstanding talmid chacham, everybody knows he's an outstanding talmid chacham, so then we would rely on him. The Aruch HaShulchan also makes the observation that the person who receives smicha is kafuf katsat, is somewhat indebted or dependent on the ordaining rabbi. That's I'm not sure exactly what he means by that, but I think it means that the person who receives smicha needs to be aware that everything that he does reflects on the person who gave him smicha, or the institution that gave him smicha, and then he's got a responsibility of halachic fidelity towards that institution. That, and if he's going to do things which are not in accordance with the values and the teachings of that institution, then presumably he needs to make everybody know that he might have smicha from Rabbi X or Institution X, but what he's doing is not in accordance with their teachings. Ad kan and Shabbat Shalom.